Welcome to the fun show.
I'm Kelly Cree.
I'm Jessica Mullen.
And what are we talking about today on the fun show, Jessica Mullen?
Y'all, guess what I did.
Oh! Oh, you just got booby-trapped.
For those of you who don't know, I keep 4 pens in my monthly magical record, and I carry them around with me everywhere I go. And every time I pick up my mirror, all the pens except one fly out.
Every single time. Like, I refuse to pick it up because I call it a booby trap, because every single time, and it gets old. And, like, I fucking moved the thing last night, and it happened. I was so pissed. It got me. Like, I was moving it, like 2 feet or something, like, from the bed to the nightstand, and there goes the markers. I'm like, motherfucker.
So, just booby-trapped myself. Oh, man. For the very first time in fun show history, I made a list of topics to talk about.
Oh my god, I was about to make a big joke of asking you if you had any topics.
Today I do.
Oh my god, that's great.
First topic is you're getting your wish of taking acid and doing the fun show.
I was wondering if you were going to say anything about that, because you said it was corny. It's hard to
ignore. It's the elephant in the room.
That we're on acid.
Just a small, tiny amount.
I don't think anyone would have noticed.
Well, I'm just making an excuse for myself in advance in case I need it.
Okay. Yes, we took a microdose of acid. I think we've talked about microdosing on here before, right?
Probably. It's a pretty big part of our lives.
I thought you were going to say, like, it's a pretty common practice.
That too. It's pretty obvious.
It's pretty obvious.
Y'all on Facebook, our friend posted, just got a new job in Delaware.
I'm trying
to mask his identity.
We're in Delaware.
I don't even know a single city in Delaware. Fuck.
I was about to say Maine, New Hampshire.
Those are not cities.
I know, bitch. Where are we? Delaware?
Our friend posted that he just got a job in Chicago, Illinois. And one of his family members was like, so you live in Chicago now? And he's like, obviously.
No, he said it's pretty obvious. Like, you dropped the punchline.
It's pretty obvious. Worst retailer ever. Back to my topics. First, a little background. Never mind, it's irrelevant. Here's my topics. Why do I have to bring my rosary to the grocery store?
Oh yeah, you said you were going to answer my question on the fun show.
We were sitting down to meditate, and I was like, I don't have my beads. And Kelly's like, I'll go get them for you. And I was like, they're in my backpack that's on the stairs. And she's like, why did you need to bring it to the grocery store? And I said I'd tell her on the fun show. And the reason is because they're good luck. If you recall from previous episodes, my beads protect me from all harm.
I get it. I figured it was going to be something like that.
Because I'm so scared and terrified to leave the house.
Well, we have been flashed from hundreds of feet away.
Scary.
And we have been said hello to and probably asked to see your tats. What else?
Asked for the time.
It's treacherous out there in Cleveland. Although someone did just get carjacked right by... Anyway, I didn't mean to... That's not a fun show topic.
Well, what is fun is bringing my beads everywhere because I think they protect me.
But well, I'm really proud of you for putting them in your bag and not having to have them on your person. That's a step.
They would give me a rash in this heat, so that's the only reason. Okay.
Okay.
So, which brings me to... This Abraham Hicks we listened to last night. which is our new thing instead of watching TV. We've done it exactly once. And in this A we listened to, she's like, when you are focused on feeling good and being in the vortex, when you're out in life, like, Source doesn't want you to stay at home and hide from the world. Source wants you out living your best life. And even if bad things happen to you, if contrast happens to you, it's still like, she was basically like, you should still be grateful because it's making you desire more things. And especially when you start feeling good, your problems might get bigger because you now are having bigger highs, and so they come with bigger lows. But you're better equipped to transmute the contrast.
Not to say that it's making you want more things, but it's causing you to have a desire, I think, is an important distinction to make, because that's one that they always make too, which is, it's not about manifesting things. It's about a feeling within you. And if you didn't have any desires, then you wouldn't have a separation between you and that feeling, which means you wouldn't ever get the feeling of coming into that feeling, which means you would never really know it because you wouldn't not know it. So if you didn't keep having desires, then life wouldn't be pulled through you. You wouldn't have that feeling of exhilaration that comes with coming into alignment if you never had disalignment.
Right. So it was a really refreshing way to look at, I just have some anxiety, and it really helped quell some anxiety. Like, okay, you're going to go out in the world and you can't control everything that's going to happen, and you can't have just this like perfectly, free from conflict existence if you want to enjoy your life. So I'm really learning to not be afraid of conflict. Not that there's conflict when I leave the house.
Just what I tried to tell you. I mean, whatever.
The conflict is in my mind. And that is where my work is, and that is where my beads help me.
It reminded me of something else funny on that Abe episode, which was this guy got on the mic and he like basically started asking them to like essentially side with him in this Facebook beef that he had.
But what if the people are really wrong?
And Abraham was like,
we wouldn't be on Facebook.
They were basically, it came down to like that he was trying to tell them that they didn't need to put their attention on what they didn't want, basically. And Abraham was like, you're doing the same exact thing. He was, and they were like, so as much as you don't need to be telling them, we can't tell you anything about you putting your attention somewhere that it doesn't need to be.
Right, because then their attention would be on something that it didn't need to be on.
Right. Yeah, precisely. So they shut that shit straight the fuck down.
It's something that I'm really trying to learn when I, like, it's the same thing. When I get annoyed when I see people complaining, like, I'm still complaining about the complaining, and it doesn't help anything.
If you're telling them not to complain.
Or even if I'm just thinking it. Like, true. It's my problem that I'm looking at someone else complaining about something that's irrelevant to my life.
True.
Even if it's relevant, like, it's my choice to focus on the complaining. That's still complaining. Yep. I might sneeze, just to warn you.
I had to take a sip of water, so.
Dead air. We love it. Okay.
What else is going on in that little book?
Oh, I got 6 topics.
Man, this is great. I'm not having to carry any of the weight.
It's my day. It's an eclipse. It's a new financial leaf for me. Everything is changing. Today is the start of my new life, where I carry the fun show. Mark my words.
Yes.
Okay, here's the next topic. Why is miser mode fun?
Because...
Well, what is miser mode?
Okay, so miser mode is... I mean, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's when we... It's not that we don't have money. It's that we...
Our expenses are becoming greater than our income.
We've had to become a little more careful, a lot more careful with it recently. The reason why a part of it, I think, is because it makes us be more conscious about everything that we do. Like, when we have plenty of money, then we'll just spend unconsciously.
Just go to restaurants anytime.
Or just, like, buy shit on Amazon, like... Like, I just need be this. Like, I want this, and then just buy it. Or, like,
books.
Art supplies. Yeah, I know. I know.
Well, and, go ahead.
Well, it's like, we are always saying, like, is it going to make it, is this object going to make it into the RV or the bus or the geodesic dome or whatever we end up living in next? And the answer is usually no. But it's like, when we have extra money, then... We don't tend to ask ourselves that as much.
Yeah, like, well, the thing that I think is most fun about it is it helps me appreciate much smaller sums of money, which I had to really learn in a previous cycle of my life, like the value of a dollar. And then once we start getting a lot of income, it's easy for me to be like, a $15 payment, that's nothing. It's not going to pay for a trip. It's not going to pay for a car. It's not going to pay a month's rent. But when we are in miser mode, $15 is so many groceries. It's so many donuts. It's almost all of our gym membership. It's like, it covers, $15 is a lot of money when you don't have a lot coming in. A lot of money. And it really makes me appreciate all those small transactions. Like, oh, someone bought a $3 PDF from our site. That's really going to help us. Thank you.
Yeah.
So it just really helps me be a lot more grateful. So I guess I see where I start taking things for granted, and maybe that's why I'm where I'm at.
And also, it like helps me, like you said, like, it helps me remember, like, I don't need the things that my mind thinks it needs to feel fulfilled in my life. You know, like, I don't need to go to restaurants all the time. I don't need to travel anywhere.
We don't need to spend $350 at Walmart.
Right. We don't need to spend that much on groceries. We don't need to buy specialty cheeses. We don't, like, need Netflix. Like, we have our house. We have our, like, simple groceries.
Our beans and rice and wheat.
And we have a library and we have a gym. It's like, we're set up. We don't really need much else. And it just makes me grateful, like, every time that we don't have as much money, it makes me really grateful that we don't have a lot of bills, like a really high cell phone bill. Yeah, car payment, insurance,
gas,
a mortgage. Like, we could just end our lease, you know, and then just, we could, like we said, we could live in a bus or something, you know, like, we're not tied to a mortgage for 30 years or some shit.
I really like how the thing that I love most about miser mode is that every time we're like, okay, we now have $0 to spend if we want to pay our student loans or whatever, and invariably I really, really want, like, pizza delivery, or I can't even think of another thing that I really, really want. Which is really weird. But anyway, as soon as I let that pizza delivery go, like, the stuff just starts pouring in. The money starts pouring in. And whatever the little holdup is that I think that I needed money for, it, as soon as I let it go, it comes. And that is something that I have to constantly remind myself, that anything I want, I can have it if I stop caring about it. Mm-hmm. And so the money thing is just like a really easy reminder, like a client's not paying, it's because we want it too bad. And we're, right. it's not like it's bad to want it. It's just that the thoughts of why hasn't it been paid yet? Why hasn't it been paid yet? Just perpetuates it not getting paid, blocking it.
Or like, I don't have enough. I can't afford this. I can't afford this, rather than like, you know,
how can I afford it?
Or like, we have so much, like we've just been eating the food that we have in our pantry that's just been sitting there, you know, and it's like all this good shit, and it's like, it's fun to go to have the challenge, I guess. Like,
yeah, it's design constraints. Like, design isn't fun if you don't have any constraints. It's too open-ended, it's too hard to start. Like, do a design project.
Like, right.
How? Yeah. What do you mean? Right.
Design your life. Like, what?
Or like, eat whatever you want. But like, if you only have 5 things in the fridge, you're going to come up with something for those 5 things. And it'll be fun and rewarding and satisfying because you get to use your creativity and feel grateful for the stuff that you do have, which also reminds me of what is so fun about miser mode, is that we have what we used to want, which is this home.
True.
And this used to be our biggest desire, to have our own place where we could afford to live in a city. And we're right there. And we have that. And
we can pay the rent.
We can pay the rent. We don't...
So we got our ultimate wish that we used to want. So now we can trust that we'll get our next ultimate wish.
Ooh, what is our ultimate wish?
For the School of Life Design to sustain us. For the School of Life Design to pay the rent.
Yes. The rent and all of our expenses.
Yeah. It's, including restaurants and specialty cheeses.
It's only like $3,000 a month. Like, how hard can it be to cover our expenses? $3,000 a month profit? Easy.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, what other topics do you have? I don't think we really need to get into the budgeting of our business.
Well, I still think it's interesting to know a number. What it costs to live, for 2 people to live a month in a city.
True.
I find it fascinating. Now, unfortunately, we've already covered one of my next topics, so I'm only down to 3 left. We better stretch them out.
Well, I have a topic, too.
Oh, what's yours?
Well, I was going to let you go through all yours. Did you want me to do mine now?
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to talk about one of the exercises from the Monthly Magical Record. Brr. What's that?
MMR.
Oh. Brr. I thought that was a bird flying in. And what is the bird population of the home? Okay, so...
Don't you want to explain that joke? It's so funny.
No, it's like, it's too much. It would take the rest of the time. It's like, if you're going to listen to the fun show, you're just going to have to laugh at jokes that you don't understand. And that's part of why it's fun.
Our jokes are like mycelium. They're like the mushrooms from a 3 million mile long mycelium mat.
Yes.
Feeding into the single tiny mushroom joke.
Exactly, exactly.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it is.
We've been together for 3 million mycelium mats.
We have a mycelium mat.
We do. It
produces, what's the word? Mushrooms that are a delicacy for the mind and the ears.
Psychedelic? I'm good.
Anyway, making dreams reality. And if you want to follow along in your own magical record, that's on page 46. So the idea of the exercise is basically noticing the events in your dreams and how those represent the emotions, or like, yeah, the feelings of your subconscious. And then the other aspect of it is to then, you know, recognize the outpicturing of your subconscious in your waking life. But I just wanted to speak to the dreaming aspect of it, which was recently a very potent exercise for me. So you write down, before you go to bed, you write down how you want to feel in your dream. And then when you wake up, you write down what happened in your dream and how you felt in the dream. So I wrote down that I wanted to feel relief in my dream. And then in my dream reality that night, it was like there were these multiple different subplots that kept playing out. Every time I would like turn over to lay on a different side of my body, a different subplot would like start playing. And it was like every time I was on that particular side of my body, that subplot would be what was going on. I didn't remember specifics of the plots, but it was just like this turning, this constant different points of focus, basically. And I wrote down that my emotions felt scattered. And so it was like, even though I didn't feel the feeling that I wrote down that I wanted to feel, that I intended to feel in my dreams, I was given clues or reasons as to why I wasn't, you know, able to feel that feeling, which, you know, I want to feel in my waking life, you know. And excuse me, the reason why I wasn't able to find relief is because I didn't have clarity in my focus and in my waking life, and so my subconscious was scattered. And it's because I'd been trying to use like multiple different mantras and like always switching back and forth between Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, Om Shri Lakshmi, counting, all different kind of shit.
What else? Any others?
It like we were doing the How to Quantum Leap, so oh, intermixed with stuff with that.
Right.
Or just ROM. And it was just like all these different subplots rather than just focusing on one. And so like when I got that clue from my dream, and then I realized like, yeah, that makes sense. Just focus on one. Like we always say, it's not the mantra, it's the devotion too. So then I was like, okay, I'll just focus on the counting, only counting, no Nam Myoho, no Lakshmi, nothing else, one thing. And it was like, I could instantly feel the relief in that. And it was because like my dreams gave me that clue into my subconscious. But it's like, you have to, like maybe the exercise didn't exactly give you what you wanted, but if you examine it and you ask and you question and you wonder, then the solutions can be there for you.
And then you ended up getting the feeling. So
right.
One thing I noticed about the MMR or the MMM or any of our exercises is that I always do them thinking that, like, especially the pre-paving, I want them to work today. I really want this pre-paving to work today. And it does, but it usually what happens is like the things I want to manifest or the things I want solutions to, it takes a day or two for it to manifest because I have to stop thinking about it for it to come to fruition. So that dream one, like even though it's about focus on tonight and then the next day, like give yourself time to forget about it and come back to it and remember what you already know.
Right. To let it play out. Yeah, that was another thing, because the first night I tried it, I didn't even remember my dream. Mm-hmm. So it did take me two nights to even get there.
I'm so glad you talked about it, because that's one of the hardest exercises in the MMR. And when I finished on June 30th, my last one, and mm-hmm. I did the last page where it's like, what's the hardest one? And it's the ones... the consciousness ones, mm-hmm. where you have to, like, especially that one where you have to track every half hour of what you do in the day. I hate doing that because I love to unconsciously waste time. Not that I love it, but I allow it to happen. And then I get so mad at myself when I can't remember what I did with hours of my day. And so, and what was funny, I wish I had it with me, but what was funny about doing that was that seeing that consciousness was the hardest one, and like the working on what should I work on, I don't remember, but it tied in exactly, like, it's because you don't have consciousness that you need to work on this other thing.
Wow.
I could pull it up. It's in the box under the bed.
No.
Okay, sorry.
Unless you want to stop this.
No, I can't stop it. It's going to get too hot in here. It's already 78.
Okay, well.
Anyway, I'll tell you next time, but the things that you dislike most about the MMR are what you need to do the most.
Yes, that makes sense. It's powerful stuff.
Oh, okay. I have a question for you.
Oh, God.
It's a can of worms, but I want to ask you.
Oh, God. I'm nervous.
So yesterday, I was listening to this Eckhart Tolle talk where he's proposing strategies for dealing with unpleasant situations or people or just unpleasantness in your life. And his solution is that presence is the only thing that dissolves the past. And like when you're witnessing someone do something you don't like they're angry or they're not treating you right, you're just witnessing their unconscious programming, and it's not really who they are. It's not really their essence. And his solution is all you can do to dissolve the past is be present. And his method for being present is saying, yes, this is what is. And that, I was talking to Kelly about it, and it opened up a big question of, is that what you're supposed to tell people who are victims of systemic violence? You know, back to the question of, is law of attraction white supremacy? Is like, what do you do with these mental things that white men teach? And and then like, okay, yeah, I want to apply this, but how does it really help people who are victims of violence? But then, so I didn't know how to answer the question. I don't know. I'm not sure how to answer it. But then later, we got a pizza delivered, and it was cut the wrong way. And Kelly said, yes, this is what is, instead of like getting mad about it. So I wanted to ask you, how did it help you saying that?
Yeah, I thought a lot about it too after I posed the question, like, is that what, you know, black people are supposed to say when they're getting murdered? Which is like, obviously no, like in my mind, no, it doesn't apply there. And so I was thinking about why, because like on a small scale, like on a personal scale, in a lot of different cases, it does make a lot of sense. Like, for example, like if your family is embroiled in drama and there's nothing, you know, that you can do about it. And so I realized that perhaps the difference there is with things that you can do something about versus things that you can't. You know?
Okay.
So it's like white supremacy. Yeah, I can do something about that. Like, I'm not just going to be like, okay, it is what it is. There's absolutely nothing I can do.
Right.
I definitely can.
That's, yeah.
Like, the pizza is cut wrong. Oh, fucking A. There's really nothing I can do besides call and bitch, and that's just going to, like, ruin my mood even more.
And your pizza's going to be cold.
And it doesn't also, it doesn't affect anyone's well-being besides my own.
Right on. Which reminds me, after you and me had that conversation, which I was so, like, upset about, and because I was, like, so, I didn't know the answer, and that upset me so bad. Like, I don't know. This was a really good technique that I was really excited about, and you're like, well, it doesn't apply to everything, so it sucks.
I did not say that.
No, that's just how I interpreted it. And because I'm like, oh, God, what am I supposed to do? I'm just trying to master my own mind. But after that, I saw an Eckhart Tolle meme where he's like, in a situation that you find intolerable, there are three choices. Leave the situation, change the situation, or accept the situation. Hmm. And those three things were not presented in this little meditation I listened that provided that technique.
Right.
So that does kind of answer it. Like, if you can't leave it, can you change it? And if you can't change it, can you accept it? And if you can't accept it, you'll suffer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the answer is basically, if you can't leave the planet, try to change it. And if you can't change it, then accept it. And if you can accept it, then you don't have to suffer anymore. You don't have to just feel that feeling of being treated unjustly. Because it's not the person who's trying to hurt you by cutting the pizza wrong. They just fucked up because of their past unconscious conditioning. Most people want the pizza cut that way.
But it's like, once again, that doesn't apply. I mean, it's like when you ask yourself if that is a privilege statement to just say, it's not them, it's not the racist's fault, you know? It's like racism apology, you know? Like, it's not as simple as to sit there and say it's their subconscious past and their like conditioning that's making them fight for a racist baseball fucking mascot, you know? It's like,
and then in that case, you got to do something to change it, right?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying, like, but it's also,
but it's like, from the perspective,
it's not on, it shouldn't be on the people who are on the receiving end of white supremacy. It shouldn't be on them, you know what I'm saying?
And that is still unanswered. Like, here's this German white male technique,
right,
to just accept it. And that is not an answer. That is not helpful. So the question still is, what are we supposed to do?
What
is a more helpful, what is that technique useful, and to who, and is it like, is it pointless to even put it out in the world?
I thought we just covered this.
I just need answers from my oracle.
We just said it's perfectly helpful on a personal level for things that you can't change.
Right.
It doesn't apply to white supremacy.
What is there anything?
Let me answer the question that I feel you're about to pose by saying this. White people can figure out how to organize for everything else. They can figure out how to organize for climate change. They can figure out how to organize for so-called feminism. But yet they want to sit there and say, we don't know what to do about white supremacy. Like, figure it out. Ask yourself what's, like, pretty much the same kind of shit you would do. Organize. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not that white people don't know what to do. It's that they're afraid. And they don't care because white supremacy benefits us.
Right.
But anyway, that's, I mean, we need to wrap this up anyway.
Thanks for telling me the answer to my unasked question.
Of course. This has been fun.
It has been very fun and enlightening. And yes, this is what is. And the things I can change, I will change. I am changing. Because today is the day that I begin carrying the fun show.
You did a great job. Thanks for all the topics.
Thanks. I didn't even get to the rest of my topics.
They were very much appreciated.
Thank you. I had a wonderful time.
So did I.
Thanks for listening.